Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Like an Italian in Little Italy. Like a man in a garage. Something. Hey, we're not metaphors, are us? This is a Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. We're at Georgia State University. This is like having an international ministry here. You walk in, and whatever it is that gives you glee and delight in this world, if you like to witness to people and like to talk to people from everywhere, this is just like a pig in a... Whatever it is that makes a pig happy, a pig in a poke? Is that the... We're not farmers or us either, okay? We're Wretched Radio, and we are going to talk to whomever. And I've got my little T-shirt on and that says Wretched. Lovely quality cotton T-shirt without a pocket for gospel tracks. And I'm going to talk to whomever. The reason that this is so exciting is I've seen people walk by with their scarves and their shawls because they're from foreign places. You can talk to anybody you want to here. But the first person I want to talk to is the person at this booth that says the Catholic Student Association. For more information, contact Rudy at, and he's got the worst email address since mine, frankly. And one of the things that he has on the table here is Holy Mass. Now, we've been told by a lot of Catholic people who call us whenever we talk about Catholicism that we are misrepresenting it. So let's talk to, I presume this is Rudy here at this table. Let's see if he'll talk to me and share with us what the, wow, I can't even get to him. I'm telling you, there's so many people here. This is like an international bazaar here at Georgia State. Excuse me, are you Rudy?
Yes.
I figured as much. Rudy, could I talk to you on the radio for a moment?
Okay.
I want to ask you a question.
All right.
This Holy Mass. What is the Holy Mass?
What is the Holy Mass? Well, yeah. First of all, this is part of Catholicism.
Right.
And the Mass in itself is the recreation of the crucifixion of Jesus, basically Catholics together worshiping God in the reenactment of the crucifixion, where there's the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And holy, well, it's incredibly holy because it's divine.
Okay, now, when you said that it's a recreation,
mm-hmm.
does that mean it's like going to a play, or is it actually the crucifixion of Jesus again?
Well, we are re-celebrating his sacrifice where he died for all. And in the act of consecration, the blood and the bread is transubstantiated into his body and blood.
Right. So it's literally Jesus' body and blood on the altar. Is that correct?
Not a symbol. Literally Jesus, for Catholics.
Okay. And is it Jesus being re-crucified? Is it redoing the atonement? What's the theology behind it?
Well, I wish I knew the whole theology behind it, but basically we are reenacting that Paschal mystery. You know, Jesus is dying for all of us, and then in the transubstantiation is becoming the body and the bread and wine becoming flesh and blood.
And blood, right. Okay, mm-hmm. So I've had communion before.
Okay.
And it tastes a lot like bread and wine.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that it's actually body and blood when it sure seems like bread and wine?
There have been many scientific studies, not all the time after every Mass, but there have been many where they've taken that host and actually broken down its DNA and have discovered that it is flesh. You know, that the...
What website
bread,
is that?
What website? I can get you that later.
Would I love that.
I don't know offhand. But there's a book, it's called The Mysteries of the Eucharist,
mm-hmm.
and it has a lot of that information. The actual website, I'm sure I can Google it
for
you.
What's the mystery of the Eucharist?
Well, the incredible mystery is God becoming man, you know, and in that mystery of the Eucharist, it's the body, the bread and the hoof
and is
becoming Jesus.
Rudy,
Catholic answer to
this
that.
This is the stuff that you're handing out today for free
to students.
Pray the rosary daily for world peace.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And this is the Virgin Mary, correct?
Yes.
And who is she?
Well, number one, she's the most exalted human being in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
You know, number one or number two, we don't worship her. Catholics never worship Mary, but she's the most prominent person, and she happens to be the mother
Second
to Jesus,
okay.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between exalting somebody and worshiping somebody?
Well, worshiping means that we're sacrificing to Mary. Well, we don't sacrifice to Mary, but we can make sacrifices to God. We don't pray directly to Mary. We ask her to pray for us on her behalf to God.
But you do. But isn't talking to her praying to her?
I'm sorry. We do pray to her.
Yeah.
But again, we know that she represents us before God.
Mm-hmm. What verse is that?
Okay.
Campus minister.
All right.
What verse in the Bible says that?
Most probably, it's going to be chapter 1 of Luke. Where we have this information.
Okay, what does it say?
Well, first of all, the angel comes to Mary and says, Hail Mary, full of grace.
What verse says that she is our intercessory between us and Jesus or us and the Father?
Once again,
all right.
Not perfect knowledge of that.
Okay, Rudy, mm-hmm. Hebrews tells us that there is one mediator between God and man.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How does Mary fit into that?
In Catholic Church teaching, she's been defined as the co-mediatrix. So she and Jesus are helping us toward our salvation.
Okay.
So she's helping. She has a great role that she's playing.
But the verse that says there is one mediator between God and man, it is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't include Mary or anybody.
Okay. I mean, that's one part of Hebrew, you know, of the Old Testament. And again, I wish I knew that exact line from the New Testament.
When you say helping us toward our salvation, mm-hmm. what does that mean?
Well, first of all, we cannot earn heaven on our own. We need grace from God.
I agree.
Right?
Yep.
So Mary is on our behalf getting that grace to come to us from God. And so that's how she's helping.
What verse is that? That says that Mary helps us get the grace from God so that we can be saved.
One thing about the Catholic Church, we have the magisterium is broken into three main parts. We have the magisterium and tradition and then the scriptures. So, once again...
Okay, so it's not scripture specific. It's from the magisterium.
Magisterium, okay, which is the leaders
enough.
Of the church,
so,
and then tradition as well.
Salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So she helped. So salvation is a progressive thing. It happens. For instance, are you saved right now?
I am saved right now, but I'm also working on continuing to being saved. So you know, the some Baptists will ask the question, "Are you saved?" and their answer to somebody who says not sure is, well, you need to come join our church and make the altar call, and then you'll be saved. But in Catholic teaching, yes, we are saved. We have been redeemed by Christ's blood. We've been redeemed by Christ's blood when he died.
And how does that get applied to an individual?
Okay, and how that gets applied to an individual. So, yes, we are saved, but every day we have to keep working on our salvation. And that is in Paul, one of his letters. And once again, I wish I knew the exact passage.
Okay.
We can definitely find. In fact,
so we're
I have it right here.
Oh, no cheating. So we're saved, but we keep on being saved. And
we keep on working.
And Mary helps us.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
So it sounds to me then for our salvation, it sounds to me like Mary should get credit and I should get credit.
Above all, God. God
but
is
I get
the
some
main,
too, and Mary gets some too.
I mean, we have to do our part. You know, God is going to send us messages in the Bible and going to send us good people to help us, but we have to do our part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to accept these graces.
Yeah, so I can get some credit. I don't know what percentage, but
yeah,
I do get
exactly.
some.
You get some credit, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you have free will. So because you have free will, you know, you can choose to work on your salvation or
Rudy,
not work
Rudy,
on
I'm
it.
I'm thinking of a Bible verse right
uh-huh.
now. Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. How does that harmonize with what you just told me about Mary helping me and myself contributing, plus God?
Well, one thing about Catholicism is that there is no error in the Scripture, and all of what's in the Scripture that the Catholic Church teaches agrees with what we're practicing.
So by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that
definitely
nobody can boast. You just told me we can get credit. That would be boasting in our contribution to salvation. And that's not what Ephesians 2:8-9 says.
Well, once again, I'm going to agree with, you know, Ephesians, and I may not have said it correctly, but we have to do our part for salvation.
All right, Rudy, thanks very much.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll never steal your book again. Thank you very much.
Oop. It's not my book.
All right, there you just heard the difference between Protestantism and Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholics teach that, well, you get saved probably through baptism, sort of, but you have to hold on to it through works and working toward perfection. Protestantism agrees with Ephesians 2:8-9, and it's such great news. By grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody should boast. If you are trying to work your way there and you're feeling the burden, repent, lay your burdens down, confess your sins, trust the Savior, and He will save you so that He can get all the credit. This is Wretched Radio.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me tell you just how this ministry is going to be changing lives later this year. With your help, meet Dr. John Krotz, one of the new powerful voices who will soon be joining this ministry later in the year. Dr. Krotz is a pastor at Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. He holds a doctorate of ministry from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Krotz has also authored several books, including Graciousness, Tempering Truth with Love, and of course, Loving the Church. His work focuses on theology and pastoral care, helping believers grow in their faith and their love for the church. And your support can help bring more voices like Dr. Krotz to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign, which is happening right now. You can visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us, and together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical, teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies.
Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, this is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. I, Todd, am at Georgia State University. All right, I'm gonna try to stick with our theme, which is helping people understand that they're wretched because I got a shirt. Hey, dude, while you're walking, could I talk to you for a minute on the radio?
Sure.
All right, what does your shirt say?
Just do.
What does that mean?
It's a DJ. Come on.
Dude, look at me. Do I look like I'm even close to him?
I guess not.
Thank you very much. All right, so he's a DJ who spins discs.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
Do you still do that? The kids these days with the disc?
Yeah.
What's a 33 and a third?
I have no idea.
Look it, I got something on you. So you go and listen to that stuff?
Sometimes.
And you get down with your bad self?
Yep, pretty much.
You do?
Get drunk, have some fun, you know?
All right, you rave then.
Yeah.
Do you still do raves? Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
what's
I don't know.
Party?
You got some lights, you got glow sticks, you got black lights going, you've got some people taking ecstasy. I don't really do that, I'm not into that, but it's definitely there.
And debauchery?
It happens, you know.
Yeah. So sex going on.
Yeah.
At the rate.
Yeah.
And do those happen in bars or do they have to rent places for those?
Both.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Tiesto Armani Exchange and that's his
clothing store. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't a cheap shirt you're wearing.
No, it's $50 actually.
Dude,
my ex-girlfriend got it for me, so it's whatever.
Dude.
It's for the Mercy Corps, so it was a good cause.
Wow. What's the Mercy Corps? Alrighty, you gotta disrupt the be the change.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that means.
Be the one that makes change, you know, don't be the status
quo. What's wrong with the way it is right now?
Right now.
What do you mean? Look at you with your $50 t-shirt on. What are you talking
about? Hey, my ex-girlfriend bought that for me though.
You're wearing it.
Yeah, that's
looks
true.
Like you've been going to the gym. You got a lot of free time.
Yeah, huh? Not really, but I got
eating
three
healthy?
Jobs. Yeah, try to eat healthy. But
what's so bad about life?
Don't know what I want to do in life, so.
Well, that's confusion. That doesn't mean that it's bad. You're a college student. Of course you're confused. That's what you'd figure out here, right?
I guess that's true.
All right, I want to show you my shirt now. You ready?
Sure.
It's a little different. All right? This wasn't $50.
Wretched.
Wretched.
What's that mean?
You tell me.
Wretched, I guess, would mean a horrible person. Somebody who's...
Very good.
I guess.
A bad person. Right, okay.
Yeah.
We'll just say a bad person. Thank
there you.
All right. Now, why would a guy like me wear a shirt that says, I'm wretched?
Maybe you are.
Maybe I am.
I don't know you.
Could you wear this shirt?
I could.
Because you're wretched?
I wouldn't. I might wear it to the gym or something like that. Just a workout shirt or something.
Would you? Great. Stink it up. But would you wear it because you are wretched?
No. I don't think I'm wretched. I try to be a good person.
I think I can prove it.
How?
By giving you a test.
Okay.
There's got to be a standard.
All right.
For instance, lying. We would agree that's bad.
Right.
How many have you told in your life?
How many lies?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. A lot.
Okay. So there's strike one,
right.
Mr. Good Person.
Everybody does bad things sometimes.
Doesn't matter. You've just told some whoppers.
Right.
To protect yourself. To get yourself out of trouble.
Whoppers,
to make yourself look better. Fabricating the truth, telling a story a little bit better than maybe
fluffing
it was.
Fluffing the truth a little bit.
Okay, and that's lying.
Yeah.
It's deceiving.
Yeah.
All right. To make yourself look better, to protect yourself. What about stealing? Ever done that?
Yeah.
Okay, how many times?
I used to take gum from the candy store all the time when I was a little kid.
Okay.
I can't even tell you how many.
Right.
A lot. Nothing recent, though.
Well, everything's in the past, so it really doesn't matter
that
how long
true.
Ago it happened.
Right.
But it doesn't matter if it's a stick of gum or it's your backpack or something from one of these jewelry stands over here. Stealing is about our heart and our attitude and whether we're good or...
Bad. Wretched.
No, wretched. That's right. Okay, how's about this one? You ready for this?
Yes.
What about lust?
Lust?
Sexual desire.
Oh, God. Everybody has that.
Mm-hmm. What about blasphemy? Think back about 5 seconds ago. Yeah, that's blasphemy.
Yeah,
do you know what that is?
Yeah.
It's when you take God's name in vain, right?
Yeah.
So the creator, instead of
well, I don't know if
they
say,
him,
God is in vain.
I do.
Oh, come on. You could be like, oh, God, I cannot believe I did that. Talking to him.
Okay, well, who is God?
God is the Lord and Savior, so.
Okay, and he's the creator?
Yes.
He made you?
Yep.
Provided that t-shirt?
Provided everything.
Everything? And you just kind of casually toss it out? And it wasn't to praise him, was it?
No.
Just tossing it out there kind of casually. And have you ever used it in a way, instead of saying a four-letter filth word, you said his name? You were disgusted and you'd let his name fly?
I really try not to say that.
But you have?
Yes.
That's blasphemy.
Yeah.
All right. What was the premise of our conversation?
What is blasphemy?
No.
Who's wretched?
Who is my t-shirt?
You're making me feel wretched now. God, thank you.
You just did it again.
Yeah.
Dude, you're racking him up.
I know.
Well, maybe because you are wretched.
Oh, thanks.
Well, that was the question. I said I could prove that you're wretched. And you admitted to me, a complete stranger, who's clearly not hip, that you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart.
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh. What about them apples? So are you wretched?
I still don't think so. Because my definition of wretched would be far worse than that.
Morally depraved.
Even worse than that, because morals are debatable, I think.
Not if God writes them.
Well, morals mean different things to different people, I think. And it's just
stealing is stealing, lying is lying, and lusting is lusting. We didn't even spend a whole lot of time with lusting, did we?
No.
We kind of blew by that one.
Just a little bit.
Okay. So with that, the wretched idea, lying, stealing, blasphemy, what about mistreating your parents when you were a child? Maybe even now, dishonoring them?
I wasn't a perfect kid, but everyone misbehaves.
Dude, you haven't been hanging around little kids long enough. You go find some little kids and look and go, that was me. They're little monsters.
Yeah.
Right? Because all they just
That's kind of a wretched thought, thinking of little kids as monsters.
Well, they are. You go to Chuck E. Cheese's, dude. Just trust me on this. Go to McDonald's Playland.
No.
You believe me now, don't you?
I would not be a happy camper.
Okay. You said something about believing in God.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think it is?
God is the creator of everything.
What's his name?
He doesn't have a name. It's God.
How do you know about this God?
The Bible.
So you're a Christian.
And going to church, yeah.
Uh-huh. So you're a Christian.
A bad one. I haven't been to church in a while.
Well, that would be another one of those violations of
Just mark it down
the assembling
my...
of the saints. Okay. Here's what the Bible says. What's your name?
David.
David, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
All right,
nice
David. Sorry, my hands are cold.
That's cool.
David, the Bible says, it agrees with me, that we're all bad. We've all fallen short. We're
all
wretched
sinners. Right.
We're not good at all. We're really, really bad. And what do we... you don't agree with the Bible?
Not 100%, though.
The Bible's wrong?
I didn't say the Bible was wrong. I just don't believe
it. Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Just did?
Come on.
Then the Bible's right. Everybody's a sinner. What do sinners deserve from God?
Salvation and... If you ask for it, I think forgiveness.
No, what do they deserve?
If you truly believe.
What do they deserve? What do you deserve?
Nothing until I prove myself.
Okay. Here's what the Bible says. All liars will have their part in a lake of fire.
That sounds fun.
Liars. That was just the one, and you said you can't even remember how many, right? Mm-hmm. Liars. All fornicators, all adulterers, all blasphemers, gossips, whoremongers, you know those names?
Yeah.
That are, yeah. All going to hell, because that's what they deserve.
Nobody's perfect, though, so.
That's what the Bible says, exactly.
Well,
that's what we are. We're not perfect. Now, the question is, what is God like? How will God respond to our not perfectness?
With forgiveness.
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Not if he's a just God.
Well, how come?
Well, imagine being in a court, broken the laws, you deserve to be sent to jail, and instead of sending you to jail, the judge says, I'm going to let you go. It would be nice, but it wouldn't be just. And the same thing with God. If he just turns a blind eye to justice, then he would be less than perfect, because he is going to make sure that evil is punished wherever he finds it. Like a thorough judge, he is going to make sure that every crime is sentenced.
Well, that means heaven would be empty then.
It means that it should be.
You really believe that?
Yeah.
So you think everybody should go to hell?
Everybody deserves to go to hell.
Why?
Because they've broken God's laws.
Then why bother even living then if you have, I don't know.
It would be a bleak thought if this is where the story ended. But right now, you should be grabbing me by the scruff and going, dude, a payment's been made. We don't go to hell because Jesus Christ took our punishment for us. He died on a cross to rescue me.
Well, then using your other argument, then you could say, you know, he gave his own son for our
pathetic-ness. Right.
Then who does that make him? I mean, if you...
It makes him the perfect God, man, who took our sin upon us. It was imputed. It means credited.
I know.
He didn't become a sinner. Your sin put on him, and then in exchange, his goodness credited to you. You don't become perfect either. You don't become like a god, but God sees you as perfect because of what Jesus did. It's a legal exchange. It's a transaction that takes place. You're not buying this.
Not really.
Then, dude, my story is way happier than yours. You're trying to work your way there, and you're not doing good at all. I just said you could have all of your sins forgiven because of what Jesus did.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to be able to do whatever I can do. Like, I don't want to be able to go around killing people, raping, and just have it forgive
because
Jesus died for my sins.
Fair question. The Bible addresses this right on with Romans chapter 6 specifically. Do you go on sinning that grace might more abound? Certainly not. When you realize that God did the most amazing kind thing by dying for you, a sinner, realizing that you are
Wretched.
Wretched. And yet he died for you anyway, demonstrated his love. You'll never want to do those things. You won't want to go rape and murder and steal and rave and do naughty things because
hey, what's wrong with
you
raving?
Love him. I'm just assuming some of the other things.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But here's where it starts. It starts in realizing that you are wretched and that he is high and holy and perfect and that we deserve his wrath, but instead he showed his kindness by dying for us. But here's the challenge, and I'm going to walk away from you now, and I'm not going to hound you down and chase after you and get you into a cult on campus. Where it starts is realizing who you are. And if you stood before a holy God, naked, no attorneys, no help, you and God piercing into your thought life, opening up the books, think about that day and let it cause you to tremble. And then turn to him, not because you're scared of hell, but because he's been so kind to rescue you from hell. Fling yourself at him at his mercy, and he will save you. It's a guarantee. But you need to do some brain work today. You need to think about what I'm saying is true. And if you've got a Bible, I presume you do, read it. Don't trust me. Trust the Bible. Read it. Read the Gospel of John. See for yourself. He came to die to save you, and he will. But you've got to repent and trust in him. Okay?
I do.
All right. If you did, you would agree with me that you were...
wretched.
That's right. See you, dude.
All right.
Goodbye.
Take it easy.
Nice to meet you. Goodbye.
Nice.
See you, David. Goodbye. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, in a surprising turn of events, companies, big companies that is, seem to be rapidly distancing themselves from the once popular DEI initiatives. Surprising, I know, but a recent study by Business Insider reveals that mentions of these terms have plummeted since their peak in 2021. It now appears corporations have started realizing that pushing divisive woke messaging in their ads is nothing but a recipe for disaster, as evidenced by the backlash that's been faced by brands like Bud Light, Target, and Disney. But before you celebrate the demise of DEI, it's worth noting that they may just be getting a makeover. At the recent World Economic Forum, a new set of standards called Stakeholder Metrics was introduced, with 150 European companies already on board as of January. The same old agenda and a shiny new name. Moving on to some troubling news out of the state of Oklahoma, the Biden administration has sued the state over a new law that allows law enforcement to arrest illegal immigrants. The DOJ alleges that the law intrudes on the federal government's authority to regulate non-citizens' presence in the U.S., and that is ridiculous and funny considering the federal government doesn't seem to be doing its job in the first place. These state laws wouldn't be necessary if our borders were properly secured. Speaking of the Biden administration's questionable priorities, the president has announced the cancellation of another $7.7 billion in student loans for 160,000 borrowers. The move comes despite the Supreme Court blocking previous debt forgiveness and red states suing to prevent taxpayers from being forced to foot the bill. Not hard to see this is a blatant attempt to buy votes in November, especially considering the president's promise to never stop working to cancel student debt. Translation, he'll ignore the law and courts to punish blue-collar workers by making them pay for someone else's useless degree. In other news, the iconic cookie brand Oreo may be the next company to face the wrath of consumers for its partnership with the LGBT activist group PFLAG. The National Legal and Policy Center is presenting a proposal warning that the company's association with leftist and LGBT causes could endanger profits. PFLAG has been known to advocate for gender transition procedures for children as young as 3 and pushes for sexually explicit books in school libraries. As the political wind shifts, Oreo may soon find themselves in the same shape as Bud Light. And speaking of one of those same companies, Disney has begun major layoffs at Pixar Animation Studios as part of its cost-cutting measures. Nearly 200 people, or about 14% of the studio's workforce, will be let go in the biggest restructuring in Pixar's history. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amid suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel. When you face opposition, do not fear or be ashamed, but trust God and rely on his word.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is a Witness Wednesday. I am on the campus of Georgia State University, and I'm walking up a hill. Let's just see how much cardio I have not been doing. I'm walking to a park where I have been told that there's some open-air preachers. We'll find out together if they're actually there. I hope they are, because we're going to give them a little listen and then do a little chalk talk. We'll critique it and see, is it good? Is it biblical? Is it sound? Is it reasonable? While I am on my way there, walking there in downtown Atlanta, working through a word list of sins. Oh, Todd, pinch me. And here, we left off at the letter D. And this should remind all of us, even who are Christians, how much we sin and how much we rely every day on the grace of God to get us through. So here we go. We'll pick it up with the letter E. What say we go through the letter I? Huh? Envy. Ugh. Evil speech. Exasperation. Excess. Oh, living in America. Faithlessness. False humility. Ugh. Isn't that so? We're told to not have pride. And so we're supposed to be humble, like the humble Jesus. And because God hates pride, so we try to be humble, and yet it can be false, and I can even blow it by trying to be humble because I've got a false motive, and it's really not true, and I'm just pretending. We need him a lot. Falsity, fear, filthy language, flattering, folly, fornication, fraudulence, gluttony, godlessness, gossip, greed, hardness of heart, harshness. Can I do a shout out to moms and dads? Hatred of God, haughtiness, homosexuality, hypocrisy, idleness, idolatry, ignorance, impatience, impurity, incest. And by the way, if you heard incest and you go, oh, that one's really ugly. They're all really ugly. Are there degrees of ugly? I think so. But don't let just one of these that, oh, I just really, oh, the homosexuality thing, that really bugs me. They all really bug God. Indulgences. Now, not you buy your forgiveness like the Roman Catholic Church is doing these days, but you're buying things for yourself that are just over the top, unnecessary. Nothing wrong with good times and having some nice stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. We're talking about it being indulgent. Infidelity. Innuendo. Insincerity. Insolence. Irreverence. Okay, let's do J because we've only got one. Jealousy. By the way, it's okay for God to be jealous because he should be jealous. If God were not jealous for the fame of his name, then he would be a liar, he would be a deceiver, and that would go against one of his attributes, which is truthfulness. He doesn't lie. Yeah, I'm like Tippi Hedren. The birds just... Yikes! The birds... Who did that to the bird? Okay, you're listening to Wretched Radio. We are at Georgia State University. I was told there were open-air preachers that are supposed to be here. And sure enough, at this... Oh, wait a second. Oh, there's just somebody yelling. There is a chess thing here where you pick up the pieces and you move them. And honestly, oh, actually some people are playing. The things... Okay, to give you an idea, I've got the rook right here. Okay, here's the bishop. The bishop comes up to just below my kneecap, which means it's about 5 feet tall. So big chess set here, and people are just playing it in the board, and people are hanging out. Hey, how you doing, sir?
How you doing?
I'm very good. Hey, could I ask you a question on the radio while you're hanging here watching the chess game?
Yes.
All right. Do you read what my shirt says? Can you see what that says? Can you see it? It's kind of fancy, I know. Can you read that?
Welch.
Wretched. Okay. Do you need glasses?
Yes, I do. What radio station you want?
A wretched radio station. Here's my question for you. Do you think human beings are wretched?
It depends.
On what?
On the situation.
What does somebody have to do to be wretched?
Define wretched for me.
Okay, I'll tell you. Good question. That's an excellent question. All right, you can't read, though. This is going to be problematic. I've actually got a list. Can you read this? How close do I need to get this to your face for you to see this? Can you see that? Can you see what it says? Can you read all of it? Here, read. Here, start there. Read there. Can you read that?
Perjury.
What's the next one?
Provision.
Perversion.
pornography, consumption, pride,
profanity,
provoking,
quarreling, rage, rape, rebellion, recklessness, revenge, ruthlessness. What else do we have there? Scoffing, scorn, self-righteousness, selfishness, sensuality, sexual immorality, slander, sloth. All kinds of bad things. Those would be bad things.
Seem like a list of perverted.
Well, not all of them. Look, you got impatience, ignorance, idleness, hypocrisy. There's other things in there. Greed, hardness of heart, gluttony.
Greed goes with AIG.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with you there, sir. But didn't that just get up your nose? All right. Filthy language, false humility, excess, evil speech, drunkenness. So those types of things.
So you should turn that list into AIG.
Okay, the question is, this isn't a political commentary.
Okay.
The question is, doing those things would make you wretched.
Okay.
That's it. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Have you ever done those things?
Some of them.
Uh-huh. So are you wretched?
A little.
Am I talking to a wretched man?
No, not now.
Who needs eyeglasses real bad? What do you mean, not now?
Not now.
Why not?
Well, as you get older, you change. Certain things change.
Yeah. So in other words, you did those things in the past. But doesn't everything happen in the past?
True.
Right. So what difference does it make? What's the expiration date on wretchedness?
There's none.
Okay. So are you wretched?
A little. I'll stick with that.
Okay. We'll stick with that. We won't pry any further. So you're a wretched guy, huh?
Right.
Uh-huh. I'm talking to a wretched man. Huh.
And we on air.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, oops. There's another one of those. You just did blasphemy. Do you know that?
Hey, trust me. Hey, it won't be heard where I live at.
Yeah. Do you know what blasphemy is?
No.
Taking God's name in vain. Well, using it like you just did. Right? Do you believe in God?
Yes, I do.
Who do you think it is?
It's a supernatural being. Hacking up with this. More or less try to do the right things in life. And by the Bible.
Mm-hmm. By the Bible?
By the Bible.
So you're a Christian?
Baptist Christian.
Mm-hmm. Don't Baptist Christians believe that we're really wretched?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so if that's true, if you're really wretched and God exists, I presume you plan on dying someday.
But
right?
he also forgives.
Says who?
Says him in his word in the Bible.
Uh-huh. How does that happen? This suddenly turned into a theology quiz, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Okay, so how are you going to get forgiven, wretched man?
Well, not to do the things that I normally did.
No, that still keeps you still wretched, just because you don't do them anymore. Murderer is still a murderer.
I know what not to do and what to do.
Right.
So.
But what about your wretchedness? What's God going to do with your wretchedness? You still got that, right?
But I'm also forgiven for that.
Says who?
Says God.
How does that happen?
How's that happen?
He forgives wretches?
Yeah, he sure do. Forgive everything else.
How? How does that work? Explain it to me.
Explain it to you?
Because I have a funny feeling I'm a wretch too. So I'd like to know how to be forgiven by God.
Well, you being wretched to me right now.
Don't sissy out on me. How do you get forgiven by God?
I got to be sissy out on you on that one.
Okay, here's the deal. You believe in the Bible, correct?
Yes.
All right. Bible says that we are all wretches. We've all broken God's laws. Lied, lusted, stolen things perhaps, looked at filthy images, had sexual thoughts we shouldn't have, used his name in a bad way. You've done it like two or three times since we started talking, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if he gives us what we deserve hell. We deserve his wrath because we're sinners, right? That's what we deserve. You and I should go to hell. For breaking that list of laws.
Well, right now you're living in hell.
No, not even close. You're smoking that cigarette. You got a nice suit on. Life is good. You're breathing air. It's sweet.
And I'm on
hell
vacation.
Hell is
you up
horrible.
Here.
And I'm wrecking it for you.
Yes, you are.
Hold on. There's good news. God is rich in mercy. He doesn't want to send you to hell. He wants to save you. But he has to be just. He's got to punish lawbreakers.
Oh, yeah.
But if there's a fine payer for you, somebody to step into the courtroom and say, I'll pay his fine, then you can be free to go, and God will be just, and he'll show his kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Who paid your fine for you?
You just said it.
Who paid your fine?
You said God.
Say the name. Nope. Okay. Specifically, who paid your fine for you? Begins with a J and ends with Jesus. Jesus.
Son.
That's right.
The Son of God is Jesus.
So that you could be set free, he paid the penalty.
He paid the price for all of us.
That's how you get forgiven. Jesus' goodness gets credited to your account. Your badness gets credited to his account. Right?
Right.
But how does that exchange take place? I'll tell you. You got to repent. Bible word. You got to apologize, turn from your sins, and put your trust in the Son. And he says, then I'll forgive you and I'll grant you everlasting life, not because you're a good guy, but because you're a wretched guy who's been forgiven by a good God. It's the good news of the gospel.
Do you have another one of those shirts?
Make sure you repent and put your trust in the Savior. Okay?
I will.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Totally. Just throw away your thinking that I'm good. Say, God, I'm really bad and I'm really sorry. Forgive me and put your trust in his Son. And then he says, I'll change your heart and I'll change your desires and I'll make you my child and I'll grant you everlasting life because he's a good God and he'll forgive you, okay? All right, man. You're a gentleman. Thanks very much. Enjoy your vacation.
I need one of the shirts.
I would have to take it off my back.
Oh, no, don't do that.
I'm supposed to be willing to, aren't I? All right, let's see if we can find some open-air preaching or we're going to play chess on a Witness Wednesday at Georgia State on Wretched Radio.
All right, all Christian homeschool parents, Sunday school teachers, and group leaders, listen up right now. The Wretched Store at wretched.org has a vast array, that means a lot, of curriculum and study guides that are available to help save your day and your lesson plans. You can dive into Road Trip to Truth, where tough questions get answers, or explore Drive-By Theology, which is a crash course in key theological concepts that you didn't even know you needed to know. But once you hear them and learn them, you'll start to wonder why you didn't know them sooner. Each guide is packed with everything you need to learn yourself and also teach others along the way. Just visit wretched.org to explore all of the curriculum and study guides we have available. Give your group the gift of engaging and doctrinally sound education. Just shop the Wretched Store today at wretched.org because, look, winging it only works in bird watching.
This May, how would you like to create countless Mother's Day celebrations? You say, I can't do that. I only have one mother. While that is most certainly true, there are countless women who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy situation, perhaps being pressured to abort their child. Enter Preborn Ministries, providing ultrasounds, clothing, food, counseling, and best of all, the gospel. And if you would consider supporting Preborn Ministries during the month of May, we have a matching gift campaign taking place, which means dollar for dollar, your gift will be matched. That means if you provide, say, 5 ultrasounds for $28 per ultrasound, that will be 10 babies, because women choose life when they see their child in utero. Would you please consider creating countless Mother's Day celebrations? Preborn.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Know your reformers. Ulrich Zwingli was a Swiss reformer who pioneered expository preaching, introduced the regulative principle, and brought republican government to Switzerland. He fought against the Roman Catholic Church for theological and political independence and died in battle. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a Witness Wednesday. We are not really at Georgia State University. We're sort of at Georgia State University, but I wandered off the campus to head to a park called Woodruff Park, which is sitting in the middle of downtown Atlanta. Don't know if you've ever been to downtown Atlanta, but it's a lovely place. It's a clean city. And if you ever visit here, there's a park in the middle. Try to think Central Park without all the garbage and smell. Big grassy area, and there's a chess area set up. There's a place where people are literally playing chess with these big chess pieces, and then off to the side of it, there are chess tables. They literally, I think, leave out chess boards for people so that they can play them. And I'm amazed that they don't steal them. I can't believe it. I remember once... This is the problem with government running stuff. Right here. Here it is. They forget the theology of the doctrine of man. In St. Paul, Minnesota, this was, I don't know how many years ago, because they loved the mother, they wanted people to stop using mass transportation, taking the MTC, the bus system in the Twin Cities, and just ride bicycles. So they thought, well, we'll provide the bicycles, we'll put up bike racks without locks, and just put these bicycles and let people use them. And because they had some thought that maybe people would actually, you know, steal them, they painted them this hideous orange color. They kind of forgot about the depravity of man, and spray paint, they took them in a day. They were just all gone. Just the whole stupid thing. You know, the bikes were probably $2,000. The research that went into it was probably about $8.4 million. Just gone in a day. Gone. The bikes are gone because we're sinners. And they've got these chess tables set up, and I can't believe that people aren't stealing them. So I came to this park to witness to people, and I've been able to use my little Wretched Wear t-shirt here, available at wretchedradio.com, to ask people if they consider themselves to be wretched. That's kind of a twist on the Ray Comfort phrase. The most brilliant question I think that I've ever heard in evangelism. Do you consider yourself to be a good person? Well, it's because it gets to the core of the issue. It's the hinge on which salvation swings. Understanding that you're not good, you're wretched. So I've simply been asking people if they'd consider themselves to be wretched. And no, I haven't been punched in the nose yet. And so what I'm thinking right now is we need an open-air preacher here. Because I was told that some open-air preachers actually come to this area where the chess players are, and they just lift up their voice and do some preaching. And they're not here, which is kind of a drag. But it's a bummer because there's so many people gathered around. There's probably just sitting by the chess pieces, 20, 30 people, and oodles of people walking by that could be roped in to hear a gospel proclamation. This would be so easy to do. I'm telling you, this would just be a piece of cake. Stand up on the bench and just talk to people about what it means to be wretched, and then you can tell them, but guess what? There's amazing grace that can save a wretch like you. No, it doesn't rhyme as well, but the point is, we can preach the law, help people understand they're sinners, and then preach the good news and amazing grace. Oh, we got an open-air preacher here. I wasn't waiting ready for this one.
Thank God for his love. I don't want to be on.
All right. Oh, it won't be. Can I just record you up for... on? All right.
I just want to be a servant. That's all I care about.
All right, we just wanted to listen.
Praise
that's
Lord.
All.
Thank you, Lord, for giving me a mind to not be wanting to be anything in this world. There's nothing in this world worth it.
His button says, "How can we escape the damnation of hell?"
Jesus lived.
Okay.
All I hope to be able to
what do you think of that? Is that a good button? His cap says Jesus on it. Let's see if this is reasonable, shall we? All right.
He was able to abstain from them. Word of God compels us to flee also youthful lust.
He's talking about Jesus.
Souls, but exercise ourselves rather according to godliness. I'm thankful to God for again having the opportunity. We live in a wicked society, in a nation that is anti-Christ. Even though they have what they call churches on virtually every corner, they're not pertaining to the true Christ. They're pertaining to the anti-Christ. They're more pertaining to...
Hey, you guys, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about what he's doing over there?
Well, I think what he's doing is doing the right thing.
Yeah? Do you agree with it?
Yes.
Yeah? What do you think about what he's doing over there?
I agree totally.
You agree totally? Are you with him?
I'm not with him.
Okay, I just thought... Well, I didn't know if you were maybe hanging out with him or you came
you're
here with him.
Not with him.
But you're with him.
God.
Okay, got it. All right, thanks very much. Just asking, guys. All right, let's just give a little eavesdrop and see what he has to say, okay? And see if it's reasonable, good, open-air preaching.
With their mouth, they show much love. But their heart goes after that covetousness. In another scripture, Jesus said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And they thought, the apostles thought that Jesus was speaking of the leaven of bread. But the word of God clearly manifested that he was speaking of doctrine. He said the doctrine was hypocrisy. He said, "Thank be to God, a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. It's certainly clearly, it's clear and obvious that we measure one another in this society by possessions.
So what he's doing right now is he's in his own way. He's opening up the law is what he's doing right now, describing the way that we sin. And by the way, if you ever come to Woodruff Park, in about the middle of the park by the chess area, don't sit by this pole. I'm just telling you, it has an odor about it that tells me a lot of pets make their way into this park. Hey, young man, tell me, what do you think about what this guy is saying over there? Do you know what he's saying? What's he talking about?
He committing blasphemy because he's trying to talk what Jesus Christ speak in the Bible.
No?
Yeah, because in the Bible it says you're supposed to read the Bible amongst yourselves, and he's speaking it out loud, committing blasphemy amongst people upon his interpretation to the people instead of what Jesus Christ.
You got a cross on your arm.
Yes.
Are you a Christian?
Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Did Jesus ever do something like this?
Yes, but he was the one.
Did Paul ever do stuff like this?
Yeah, I am. Actually, I'm trying to get me a job so I can get up in the house. I won't even have to listen to him.
Yeah. So what about people like Isaiah and Jeremiah? Didn't they do things like that?
Yeah, but they were Jesus Christ's disciples.
What are you?
I'm a U.S. citizen.
Aren't you a
disciple
of Jesus?
No, see, when Jesus Christ come back, you're going to have Pacific chosen ones.
Are you a Jehovah's Witness?
No, I'm a Jesus Christ. I'm a firm believer in God Almighty. If you walk the seven, you'll be a chosen one.
If I do what?
If you walk the seven deadly sins. If you overcome the seven deadly sins, become a chosen one.
Uh-huh.
And when Jesus Christ come back and take you with him.
What are the seven deadly sins? You don't know them. How can you overcome them if you don't know what they are?
I know what my seven deadly sins are.
Oh, so everybody has their own.
Yes.
What are yours?
So far, lying. Pride.
Mm-hmm. Lust.
And lust.
Yeah,
yes.
That's three.
Yes.
So you've committed those seven deadly sins, right?
Yes.
So you haven't overcome them at all.
Yes. When I get out of this environment, then I'll change.
Ah. Aren't you supposed to change in this environment?
I can change in this environment in my situation.
Friend, how do you get your sins forgiven? Do you know?
By faith to some deadly sins?
No. It's not how it happens. It's better than that. Problem is you can't stop sinning because we're sinners. We lie, we lust, we cheat, we steal. We do those bad things. What happened on the cross 2,000 years ago? What did
They put Jesus Christ on the cross because he wouldn't pay his taxes to Rome.
No, they put Jesus Christ on the cross because he claimed to be God, and they thought that was blasphemy. But he was God, and he came to die on a cross for your sins so that your sins can be forgiven. Have you ever heard that before?
No, I never read Strokes.
Oh, this is from the Bible, okay? Jesus died on a cross so that all of your sins could be forgiven. So that God doesn't have to send you to hell. He punished his own son because he loves you that much. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And if you believe in Jesus, God says, I'll forgive all of your sins and I'll take you to heaven because I'm a good God and I'm a forgiving God. Okay? It's called the good news of the gospel. You need to repent. It means just apologize to God for your deadly sins. Say you're sorry. Turn from your sins and put your trust in Jesus. And he says, I'll forgive you of all of your sins because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's the good news of the gospel. All of your sins forgiven. Don't need to worry about going to hell ever again. Don't need to be afraid of death. God will take you to heaven because he's good and he's kind and he sent his son to die for you. Remember what I just said? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
Yes.
All right? That's how you get over your deadly sins. That's how you get everlasting life. All right? All right, friend. Nice talking to you, okay?
Nice meeting you.
Nice talking to you. All right, goodbye. See you. All right. We are... We're in the middle of an area where there's a lot of people who are homeless and hurting. And a reasonably well-dressed fellow who was confused. Now, you might ask the question, is there any value in ever witnessing to people who maybe don't have clarity of brain or are confused about things? Well, last time I checked, God's word is awfully powerful. And it can cut through anything. And even people who are confused or hurting or maybe aren't completely in control of all of their faculties, he can save them too. So it is, we gently and lovingly and simply proclaim the amazing good news. We don't pray to Mary. We don't say a rosary. We don't rely on our own goodness, trying to overcome our sins. We repent and we put our trust in Jesus Christ. And he promises he will save the simple. He will save the wise. He will save those who humble themselves, who put their trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Please do that. Please do that today. And receive forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.